Late again, Holmes.
Oh, Watson, sorry to keep you waiting, but I've had quite the adventure. I'm sure you cannot guess how I have employed my time today.
By your interesting choice of dress, I can see you have been portraying one of your characters for the purpose of watching the habits and house of Miss Adler, I suspect.
Quite right. But the sequel was rather unusual, as I'm sure you will agree. I left this morning in the character of a stableman out of work. There is a wonderful camaraderie among horsemen. Be one of them, and you will know all there is to know. I soon found Briony Lodge, a bijou villa, garden at back, built out in front to the road, two stories, large sitting room to the right, shrub locked at the door, but preposterous window fasteners which a child could open. I then strolled down to the mews, and there lent a hand to the other carriage and stableman, rubbing down the horses, for which I received in exchange 2 pence, 2 fills of shag tobacco, and as much information as I could desire about Miss Adler, to say nothing of a half dozen other people in the neighborhood in whom I was completely uninterested.
And what of Irene Adler?
To the men of the mews, she is the daintiest thing under a bonnet on this planet. She lives quietly, sings at concerts, drives out at 5 every day, and is home at 7 sharp for dinner.
Not quite the adventuress King Wilhelm described.
She has only 1 male visitor, but a good deal of him. He often calls twice a day, never less than once. He is the lawyer Godfrey Norton of Temple.
Ah.
See the advantages of a cabman as a confidant?
Indeed. But the involvement of a lawyer in this matter sounds ominous, Holmes.
My thoughts exactly at the time. What was the relationship between them? And what is the object of his repeated visits? Had she transferred the photograph to his keeping? I was in this line of reasoning when... I fear I bore you with the details, Watson.
Well, not at all. Pray continue.
It was just prior to noon, and over a pipe I sat contemplating, turning my attention to the gentleman's rooms in Temple. When a hansom arrived, a gentleman sprang out, calling for the cabman to wait. He did knock at the door, but then brushed past the maid who opened it with the air of a man who is thoroughly at home.
Mr. Norton?
Yes. He was in the house about 30 minutes and then emerged in more of a flurry than before. He called to the driver, "I must be at the Church of St. Monica in Edgware Road within 30 minutes, but first to Regent Street." Away they went. I wondered if I would do well to follow him. When up the lane came a neat little carriage with a coachman's coat but half-buttoned. Why, it hadn't even come to a stop before she shot out and darted into it, crying, "The Church of St. Monica, John, as fast as you dare!" This was quite too good to lose, Watson. I dashed over to the street and saw an empty cab. Before the driver could object to such a shabby fare, I jumped in and promised the man 50 sovereigns if he reached the church in less than 20 minutes.
My word!
My cabby drove fast. I don't think I ever drove faster. But still, the others were there before us. I paid the driver and hurried into the church. There was not a soul there save the 2 whom I'd followed and a clergyman at the altar. I quickly sat in a pew and bowed my head like any idler who had dropped into church. Suddenly, to my surprise, the 3 turned and looked toward me.
No!
Godfrey Norton then came running towards me, shouting, "You! You there!" And before I could duck out the door, he had me by the arm.
Holmes!
I too thought my plan seriously menaced, that I'd been recognized. But no! By the arm I was pulled up to the aisle, Norton proclaiming, "Come, man, we've only 3 minutes." What came next was a blur to me. The clergyman, now evidently satisfied with the participants, then proceeded to marry Irene Adler and Godfrey Norton. It was done in an instant. There I stood, Watson, a handsome gentleman on one side, shaking my hand, a very beautiful lady on the other, thanking me profusely. My arrival, it seems, just saved Mr. Norton from dashing out to the street in search of a best man to witness the marriage. As we left the church, the new bride said, "I shall return to Briony and see you at the park at 5. Mr. Norton then left. The lovely Mrs. Norton then presented me with this gold coin in thanks for my service. I intend to wear it on my watch chain in memory of the most preposterous afternoon I have ever spent.
This is a very unexpected turn of affairs, I must say.
Yes, but it simplifies the matter of the photograph.
In what way?
The photograph is double-edged now. Its publication would only risk her happy marriage, too.
Then the king has nothing to fear?
Perhaps not for the immediate time being. But there is always the chance of future demands. Therefore, I have devised a way to retrieve it from her house this very day.
Her house was searched by the king's agents.
Oh, they did not know where to look.
But you know.
I will not look.
No.
She will show me.
Surely she will refuse.
She will not be able to. Now, I desire only some cold beef and a glass of beer. Afterwards, I have some arrangements to see to, and I could use your assistance, Doctor.
I shall be delighted.
You don't mind breaking the law and risking arrest?
Not in a good cause.
I was sure that I might rely on you. Now, if you would, take this note to Harris Plumbers near Euston Station. The proprietor will give you a package. Bring it to the head of the lane at Briony Lodge, where I will meet you at precisely 6:55.
If you could wait here, my good fellow, I shall be back shortly.
Watson, this way. We have but a few moments.
Holmes, you're dressed as a clergyman.
An inspired choice, given this afternoon's events. You have the package?
Yes, of course.
Good. Everything is arranged. We but wait the imminent arrival of Miss Adler, Madame Norton. Now, Watson, there will be some commotion, perhaps some slight unpleasantness. But you must not interfere, you understand?
I am to be neutral.
To do nothing whatever. When it is ended, I shall be conveyed into the house. At this moment, position yourself there, at the base of the window.
Right.
Inside, I will ask for air to clear my head, and the window will be opened wide. In your pocket, you have a self-igniting plumber's smoke rocket. Pull the cap, toss the rocket into the room, and shout a warning of fire. Others will quickly carry forward the alarm, while you return to the top of the lane and await my arrival. I hope I have made myself clear.
Perfectly. You may rely on me completely.
Excellent. Ah, I hear the lady's carriage. I must prepare for my role. Hey there!
Hey there!
Watch you!
Hey there!
You there!
Look, hey there!
Look out!
He's been struck!
Is he dead?
Oh.
No! Unconscious!
Oh, dear, poor man!
I didn't see him, ma'am.
He can't lie in the street. May we bring him in, ma'am?
Yes, of course. John, help these gentlemen to bring him to the sitting room.
Yes, ma'am.
Here, gentlemen, in here.
I am feeling fine, really. Please, I can stand.
Whoa. Hang on there, Vicar. You took a blow to the head.
Sit him down on the sofa.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Perhaps some fresh air will help clear my head.
Well, of course.
I'll get the window, ma'am.
You are too kind.
Fire! Fire!
Fire! Fire!
Fire!
Hold, driver, one moment more. Into the cab, Walton. Driver, the Langham Hotel. You did splendidly, Doctor.
You have the photograph.
Safely tucked away for presentation to the King.
You were in the house for so short a time. How did you find it?
She showed me, as I told you that she would.
But I'm still in the dark.
It is no mystery, my friend. You, of course, saw that everyone on the street was an accomplice.
Yes.
When her carriage came down the lane, I stepped close and improvised, being struck. The cries of the crowd reinforced the deception. I fell down, played injured. It's a common trick to extort money from the gullible. But dressed in the clothes of a common clergyman, who would doubt?
No one.
I was carried into the sitting room and asked for air. When the window was open, you had your chance.
But I thought it was to provide distraction, a diversion while you searched the premises.
Not at all. When a woman fears that her house is afire, she will rush to the thing she values most. A mother grabs at her baby, a young woman, her jewel case. And our adventuress, Irene Norton, rushes to retrieve
the photograph.
The photograph, exactly. In the midst of the smoke and the shouting, she responded beautifully. I watched her closely. Her eyes darted to the bell pull beside the fireplace mantel. As she moved towards it, the carriage driver interceded and hurried her from the room. I then had my chance. Behind the bell pull, I found a loose seam in the wallpaper. And there, tucked behind the paper, I found the photograph. I had barely time to hide it in my breast pocket when the driver returned to assist me, the poor injured vicar. I think he was quite surprised. I ran right past him and out the front door.
Well done, Holmes. The King will be pleased.
Yes, he will. Our work is nearly complete, Watson.
The Langham, gentlemen.